views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good evening. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name, of course, is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., as I often like to make reference to the fact that the federal government that collects taxes from businesses and so-called citizens and generates all this revenue incorporated at one point in its history. So, do we have a republic? You know, these are constitutional questions. So for those that have often wondered, I just answer that question. For those that's new to the broadcast, that's what I mean when I say behind enemy lines. And then, of course, the fact that the United States is still practicing slavery. So welcome into tonight's live broadcast of Black Talk Radio News on this Tuesday evening. It is the day after my mother's day of birth, so happy birthday to her again. But it is February the 27th, 2018. Our broadcast home, of course, is blacktalkradionetwork.com, but you can just look us up on TuneIn and all your major directories and podcast directories. But, of course, you always want to subscribe at our home. We're doing something a little new tonight, trying to do live video stream of the program tonight on Periscope. Been having a lot of problems trying to use the app with YouTube and what have you, but just trying to add a little video, a little flavor, video flavor, I guess I should say, to the broadcast. And for some reason, even though we never broadcast on Periscope, we did pick up a whole lot of followers on that network. So shout out to those who are watching us on the Periscope screen live right now. Hope that you are able to hear me okay. Let me move this other camera out the way in case it's blocking some of the audio. Because I did notice on the YouTube stream that the audio was kind of low on the recording. So just doing a couple of new things. I don't know how to do you all, you listeners out there. And of course, you can give us a call at 704-802-5056 at any time during the broadcast to chime in on any of the news topics or what you think about what's going on in the network. You know, it's always open lines to our BTR community members as well, but that telephone number is 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. Our Periscope viewers, y'all can call in as well. You should be able to be heard on that stream as well. Any of the audio from our callers, at least we hope. This is sort of like, you know, initial broadcast, so it's kind of like a test. All right, so what are we talking about tonight? Let me just lay that out for you. We're going to continue to talk about slavery, which regular listeners of BTR News or this digital radio station, Black Talk Radio, know we focus a lot on the issue of modern day slavery and human trafficking and the fact that the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution carves out an exception for all the states, not just the Confederate states, but all the states, to continue a form of slavery with the caveat that you first convict them of crimes. So this phenomenon that people are calling mass incarceration, the prison industrial complex, that what they're calling as they know the prison system today, that's really a transformation and a continuation of slavery. Because in fact, the 13th Amendment does not abolish slavery. And so shout out to my abolitionist comrades and out there, especially those who listen to New Abolitionist Radio, listen to myself and Max Partis, sometimes Sister Layla, you know, and have supported us over the past 6 years in spreading that message. And all those who are members of the different groups we have on social media, shout out to Millions for Prisoners on Twitter as well. Doing great work and spreading awareness that slavery was never abolished. And a story that was, I don't want to say broken by, but I'm sure there was some media coverage back in the 90s or whenever these lawsuits were filed that were bringing up the 13th Amendment, where you had prisoners who had been convicted of crime. And when we talk about, you know, people who have been convicted of crimes, I don't like to use the dehumanizing term criminals, because there are so many people who have been wrongfully convicted of very serious crimes. People on death row getting exonerated by DNA evidence, and then the majority of the people in prison are in there over so-called nonviolent drug crimes. If it don't involve children, and if something like cannabis, people want to use cannabis just like they drink wine, just like they buy alcohol from the state, the ABC store, whatever, however it is you get your alcohol in your state, you know, and you want to lock people up for using cannabis, something that they can even grow in their home that you will lock them up for, which in I think about 3/5 of the states participating in this corporation known as USA Inc., have legalized cannabis in some form or fashion, recreationally, which I think California just did, as well as medicinally, and you know, great results from that. And there has been long-term data that has collected that shows that, you know, that does lead to a reduction in arrests, because then you know, you really cut down that pool of potential victims of modern day slavery when you legalize and say that people 21 years or older or 18 years old, I mean, you drafting them to the military to send them off to die in your wars, so why can't they smoke some butt? You know, let's get over this sanctimonious BS where we're robbing people of their liberty and freedom, throwing them in prison so that a few people, the 1% mainly, who run these private prison corporations, the politicians get kickbacks and all kind of benefits under the table and above table, you know, by the prison lobbyists who give to their campaigns. So everybody is profiting off of this. And so now, you know, the story, the main story that really undergirds that is the NCAA. Now, the March Madness basketball tournament starts March the 13th is when it starts. That's what, just 2 weeks away, maybe a little over 2 weeks away, March Madness, where I think it's CBS just paid the NCAA $8.3 billion, just for this one year, for the right to broadcast. I guess they're going to get an exclusive on the Sweet 16, the Final Four, and then, of course, the championship game, you know, between those people. But those teams with people on them. And so we have the NCAA in the debate about what all this money that's being generated that, you know, for the universities, for their presidents, whoever's on salary, all your tenure professors, definitely your coach, his staff. Some of these coaches, especially in your top 10 colleges, are are getting, they have multi-million dollar contracts per year. So they're definitely in a workplace. They're working. And so you have these students who are also working, but they want to play these games and say that, oh, they're playing a game. They're not working. Give me a break. Then why do these announcers, when these players are on the court or on the football field, saying, oh, he's such a workhorse, or you can tell he's been working on his free throws or his jump shot, or he's been really, you know, working to hit those holes hard. He's a workhorse. And let's stop playing this game. Let's stop allowing them to play this game. But now they are telling us that they have a right. I'm speaking again of the NCAA, that they have a right to use student athletes as slaves, and they're citing the 13th Amendment. Now, again, if you are a longtime listener of the Black Talk Radio Network, at least for the past 6 years, if you tuned in at any time to New Abolitionist Radio, then you know long before Ava DuVernay got her Oscar nominated worthy documentary that the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery, and what we're calling who we're calling criminals at one time were being called slaves. So shout out to Ava DuVernay and Netflix for that Oscar nominee. They should have won the Oscar. It was Oscar worthy to put that out to the public. When we have, now think about it again, we're talking about the NCAA, we're talking about the National Collegiate Athletic Association, represents colleges and universities that's making billions of dollars a year off of sports, okay? And they are comparing their student athletes and saying we don't have to pay them because in the United States, slavery is legal. These are the same universities that's teaching everybody that slavery was abolished in 1865, after the conclusion of the Civil War, about a year later, when the 13th Amendment was ratified. And this has been taught in all forms of education, from pre-K all the way through college. All you college educated people out there, y'all know y'all been taught that slavery was abolished by the 13th Amendment in 1865. Now, if you were one of the rare people, I was not one of them, but if you was one of the rare people where your professor or your history teacher actually read and put up on the chalkboard or made, you know, just published the 13th Amendment, had the entire class read it, the entire amendment, then you, I'm wondering how many people would still be believing that slavery has been abolished and believing that erroneously. So we're dealing with a lot here. All right. So that's what we're talking about tonight. It was an excellent broadcast on Tando Radio Show yesterday, where the majority of the program was devoted to that very subject, but the topic was exploiting children. But this was like breaking news to Dave. He had not heard the story, and the story's like 5 days old. The story's like 5 days old, and the news cycle, the corporate news cycle, is only like 3 days long. It's 3 days long. I've interviewed filmmakers in the past that've made documentaries that's been like on PBS or interviewed on like MSNBC, and it looks like our Periscope. So again, we still testing stuff live. Looks like our Periscope screen has kind of locked up on us, so I'm not going to worry about that since I'm the only one in the studio. But I'm ambidextrous, as they say. I can chew and walk, chew bubblegum and walk. So let me see. Periscope isn't responding. Should I wait for it to respond? We're going to just wait for it to respond and just leave it alone. All right, so that's what's on the table tonight. Now, those who know this, about this story, who are regular listeners of Black Talk Radio Network, have you shared this information? Well, I'm sure you shared the information with people on social media that's in your circles on Facebook, and you may have retweeted the article by Sean King coming out of the Intercept, but have you had one-on-one conversations with coworkers, employees, family members again, and discuss this argument that the NCAA is using in a civil federal court case right now in justifying not paying student athletes, saying that they are akin to prison slaves? I mean, just on two different levels right there, it's just vile all the way around. But we have a federal court case that seems to be suppressed in the corporate media, because again, these are the same networks who run these newsrooms who will be making a lot of money off of March Madness, and they don't want to screw that up. Okay, they've already paid the NCAA in CBS's case $8 billion. So I don't think whoever is on the news programming board or among the producers, I don't think they're going to highlight this lawsuit, this response from the NCAA's lawyers in response to a former student athlete's lawsuit that they don't have to pay them because they're slaves. When you boil it, when you get down to the nuts and bolts of their legalese and their argument, which their legal argument isn't that hard to understand. They're wrong in their application of it, but the audacity for them to even cite the fact that slavery still exists in the United States, and that the federal government and the state government can practice it, so can we. What are your family members saying to you about this? What are the conversations you're seeing or hearing being had on this fact? When is the last time that these conversations have been had on the airwaves about slavery? I can look it up real quick, but I won't. But I don't think radio had been invented in 1865. I know they had the telegraph, but I don't think they had radio. Not terrestrial radio, not ham radio. They didn't have digital radio. There was no internet. So wow. So here we are in 2018, and we have a corporation, a nonprofit corporation, saying it has a right as a corporation, a right to treat student athletes as slaves. I don't know about you, but I will not be watching any more basketball games. And I normally did not watch them a lot until like the Final Four, the March Madness, especially if North Carolina was playing. Because I'm a former basketball player. Sports is in my blood. The competitive warrior nature is in my blood. I played football too, but not as competitively as I played basketball. And I watched the game about 10 minutes of a game the other day, and then turned it off. That's all the basketball I watch. So I'm not giving up much when I say I will not watch another game, and definitely won't tune in to the NCAA, and will devote resources towards producing little short campaign ads promoting a boycott of March Madness. I think CBS has the main contract. I think some of the early games will be like on Ted Turner's network. I think it's TBS. It's a couple of other channels. You can look at our graphic for tonight's program. Matter of fact, I can pull that up right now because we have some links to what we're discussing tonight, which have been posted at blacktalkradionetwork.com. BTR News, NCAA says prison slavery is why they don't have to pay athletes. So TBS, CBS, True TV, and then there's another one that I can't quite see because I got the little, you know, the boycott symbol stamp over it. saying no to NCAA March Madness. We will not watch it. We will boycott it. Now, you think about how much money if just they would lose because American society, and when I say American society, I'm just referring to the continent of North America and the people that live on it. If 50% of American society is against slavery and appalled as I am that a nonprofit institution that's making plenty of profit in the billions every year, which is resulting in multi-million dollar salaries for athletic directors, coaches, paying for stuff in the university, paying for other programs, I'm sure going towards tenured professors' salaries. Tell me that's not where the bulk of their revenue is coming from. And then they're hiding behind a nonprofit status while all of these executives and employees get paid while the players don't. Not even their parents. So I'm calling for a boycott. I hope you will join me. I'm not the first to call for a boycott. We had Jalen Rose. Remember him? Fab Five, played for Michigan. I was in the U.S. military at the time when they went to a couple of championships, I believe, but they never won. But it was a lot of buzz and hype, and a lot of money was generated in the media hyping up the Fab Five. Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, some of the other members. Yeah, a lot of money. They were prohibited from making any money. Then you got Las Vegas, the bettors, the bookies, everybody getting paid off of these children. And again, as I stated earlier in earlier podcasts, I used to resist comparing student athletes to slaves, to those who are caught up in the system of prison slavery, that the 13th Amendment says it is legal to profit from them. Use their labor for whatever you want to you, and you don't have to pay them anything if you've convicted them of a crime. But to say that Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, Juwan Howard, Jimmy King, and Ray Jackson, to say that they were criminals, the Fab Five, that's basically what they're saying. We're a bunch of criminals on a basketball court, and we made billions of dollars off of them that year through their march through March Madness. But we view them as criminals. So we don't have to share any revenue, and we can work them physically in the gym, on the football field, in the weight room, in the classroom, for those that where that was stringent. But you know that they didn't really care. It's been revealed that those not smart enough to be in college because the education system failed them. Well, grades were falsified, given easy classes just so that individual can be exploited because of their physical ability on a basketball court or football court. And you can make money off of their body. So we're going to, quote unquote, break the rules. It's criminal. That I'm looking at this in a whole different light. That's human trafficking. It's not just breaking rules. It's breaking the laws against human trafficking. When you're profiting off of prisoners, when you're profiting off of players, and these players are a prisoner to this system that you set up that prevents them from benefit, just like a pre-1865 victim of slavery. Could any money they went out there and earned with any kind of skill or task, whether it was boxing as was depicted in Django, you know, the Mandingo boxing, whether they took up carving, woodworking as a hobby in their spare time, and people was like, hey, white people was like, hey, we'll pay a lot of money about it. Hey, do you think the victim of slavery got that? No. The person enslaving them was paid for what this victim of slavery has created. It's an age-old practice entail. And how long are we going to keep tolerating it? Seems to me people walking around with, like they've been under, like they under trauma. Now I know, you know, especially when it concerns black people, non-white people, the trauma from racism and white supremacy, but the trauma from the prison slavery. But it's like most of the people, they don't want to even acknowledge this fact that slavery was never abolished because of what they've been programmed. I don't know what it is. They'll talk about, and not to say that these other things don't deserve attention and to be talked about, because life is very complex. They're coming at it so many different ways. There's just a lot of things that we do need to discuss. That's the point of Black Talk Radio Network. But to never talk about the fact that slavery was never abolished, even when you have a $1 billion organization that's making billions of dollars off the sporting industry, it's just to find them not paying those they're generating this money off of, referring to them as slavery in court, in the legal document. The very same, again, educational institutions that's teaching its students that slavery was abolished. And now they're citing the 13th Amendment to protect their profits. The universities, let's not just blame it on the attorneys who came up and decided with this legal argument. I'm sure they consulted with their client, the NCAA, and who is the NCAA, but all of these colleges and universities. These presidents, the shot callers, the real big ballers. I'm not seeing a public reaction that I would like to see, that I would expect to see with being confronted with that truth. When I was confronted with that truth, it inspired me to create, and I'm saying this with all humbleness and humility, but it is a fact that New Abolitionist Radio is an award-winning broadcast and podcast, and awarded not by the corporate system or the entertainment industry, but recognized by an organization fighting for human rights of prisoners. Missouri Cure, shout out to them. Thank you for the award for New Abolitionist Radio and Max Parthas for being out there on the road as the Johnny Appleseed of letting people know that slavery wasn't abolished. We need to abolish it. People are not acting like they should act. It's not, and then again, I know what it is. I'm not confused about it. Malcolm X said, media controls the minds of the masses. If the mainstream media, which is profiting from the March Madness and the football tournaments and the championships, if these very same television and cable networks are profiting off of that, why would they allow this to be the coverage that there should be if they want to call themselves journalists, objective, not reporting on this case like they should? We're like in day five. It usually takes 3 days for what we talk about on the internet, as I was told by a person with knowledge on it, that worked in the industry. It takes, once we talk about a big story on the internet, it takes 3 days for the mainstream media to pick up on it. That's for them to get hand Joy Ann Reid a script, to give Don Lemon a script, to give Reverend Al Sharpton a script. And where's Al Sharpton at on this? You got the NCAA saying is practicing slavery. Where is National Action Network? Has he not heard the news? Is it being suppressed from him? Is he not really plugged into Twitter or the right networks like Black Talk Radio Network, where he would learn about these things? Or The Intercept, a nonprofit independent news organization, which I'm going to say broke the story that this was filed. Sean King at The Intercept. How is this not headline news? Earlier today, I had an opportunity to call in to the local Charlotte Sports Talk radio station, WFNZ. Hopefully they recorded it on a podcast. And they had a legal analyst. His name was, and I'm going to try to schedule him for a program. His name is Michael McCann. I wrote it down as Michael, his last name, M-C-C-A-N-N. At least that's how I think I heard them spell his name. And he's on Twitter, and he's a legal analyst for Sports Illustrated, which has been breaking some pretty good stories here lately. And I listened to him, and they were really focused on, for those that don't know, the FBI just concluded a 2-year investigation that has resulted in 10 people being indicted thus far. In these are NCAA connected schools or affiliated schools, member organizations. Arizona is one of the schools. North Carolina was mentioned. Duke University. Coach K, how much money y'all think Coach K have made off of basketball? And he ain't made a single shot in a single game. They can talk about coaching all you want to, and coaching does matter. But without the players understanding the offensive and defensive concepts, in having the athletic ability to block shots, make shots, run for touchdown, catch long passes, throw passes. Without them, it ain't happening. I bet you Coach K probably got about, I will probably ask, the longest he's been in coaching, what, 20, 30 years? Coach the USA Olympic team. Let's talk about the Olympics. Lots of money made off the so-called amateurism off the Olympics, not shared with the athletes. But 30 years, I probably say he probably worth about $20, $25 million he done made. A conservative estimate off the blood, sweat, broken legs, concussions, tears of the student athlete. And I had the opportunity to call in the WFNZ, and I asked him. The guy had already hung up, Mr. Michael McCann. We're going to try to get him on the network. But I said I would have loved to ask him, as a legal analyst, his thoughts on the NCAA in response to this lawsuit, which was filed recently. Let me pull up the athlete's name, the former student athlete, Lawrence Poppy Livers. And all Mr. Livers is saying that colleges and universities should at least pay these student athletes the same that they would pay any other student on a work study program. And I've mentioned that in past media I've put out on this subject over the past couple of days. Whether they go to a restaurant, you know, the college or the university has these participating businesses where you know, they allow college students to come in and get some credit for work study, and it might pay them some money. I'm not sure about that. I've never actually participated in a college work study program. But I do know the program exists. And some students make a little chump change. And athletes, student athletes, are not, don't have time to go work flipping burgers, washing dishes, any of the menial tasks, wait on tables, bus tables, work in the dishwashing room again. They don't have time for that because so much time, I mean, so much is demanded of their time by their coach, by that school, to be studying film, to be practicing on the court or on the field, countless and countless hours in the weight room. This is hard work. This actually breaks down your body over time. Some would say build it up, but, you know, it is to make the individual as strong as possible. That takes work. If you want to be the best, especially when you dangling a carrot in front of them, you could go on to be part of the 1% to get a pro contract that's on average going to play about 5 or 6 years in the NFL because of the wear and tear on the body. Dangling that carrot in front of them and not giving them anything, not even lunch money. And these people making billions. They're making billions. So, I mean, this is just totally disgusting. How do you former student athletes feel about the fact that the NCAA just called you slaves? Or just inform you, if you're a former student athlete, to just be informed that you were a slave? How you feel about that? Give us a call, 704-802-5056. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there is a media, quote unquote, blackout? Are they hitting us with the white snow on this story? You know, you can't tune it in to the story because your receiver ain't, it's not receiving that channel. What's going on? We're in day 5 on this groundbreaking article by Sean King. And shout out to him. I swear I can't remember the sister name who is the abolitionist out of Ohio, who Max published a video of her questioning Stephen King at a panel event that he was a part of and putting the 13th Amendment and prison slavery question to him. And so here he found an opportunity in his profession to mention the fact that, hey, I didn't believe it until I read it for myself. He probably thinking to himself, now I had this activist sister just ask me that question. And I agree with her on the spot. I agree with her. We have it on video. But he's saying now that he can't believe that the NCAA, these are colleges and universities that have courses on slavery, is admitting that they're viewing their student athletes as slaves. It's crazy. If you have any questions or comments, you can hit us up at 704-802-5056. Hit star to unmute yourself. Always watch your background noise. We're going to take a short break. We're going to take a music break. But I'm just not seeing a reaction from the public that I should be seeing. Now, I am seeing Jalen Rose go hard on the NCAA, but again, not sure if he's referring to the FBI indictments of coaches, assistant coaches. The good thing is I'm not seeing that any of the players' name have been charged with a criminal offense, but it looks like the FBI is hitting them off with RICO charges. They're mentioning money laundering and all of that. And that is included in the RICO statutes, money laundering, wire fraud, I recognize one name, one coach named Chuck Person. I remember as a boy watching Chuck Person play in the NBA. He was known as the Rifleman in the NBA because he had such a quick release on that outside shot. I remember Chuck Person. He's been indicted in this scandal. And the NCAA, of course, is going to act like, oh, we didn't know nothing about it. Listen, over the decades, it's been story after story after story. The NCAA tries to play blind, deaf, and dumb. Come on. This is systemic corruption, as the FBI indictment does mention. But Jalen Rose called them, said that they're running the organization, again, the NCAA, like a criminal cartel. And we'll play that clip when we come back on the other side of our music break, because we definitely love to support our music artists out there and to send that message through that message music. Quick shout out again to the brother that volunteered to run our message music station. I have been making some videos. I have not forgotten about you, bro. I do need to schedule a live session with you to go over everything, and I'll turn the station over to you, but I don't want you to think I've forgotten about you. Just been involved in a whole lot of things, upgrading the platform, trying to install a new media player that I think that everyone's really going to love, or going to like the broadcasters as well as the podcasters and the listeners, of course, as well. So definitely trying to do some upgrades to the platform, BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, which is managed by the North Carolina-based, speaking of nonprofits, Black Talk Media Project. All right, so we will be back on the other side. Stay tuned to BTR News with yours truly, Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And welcome back once again to BTR News on this Tuesday night. This February the 27th, so glad that you could join us on these airways. Again, I mean, I'm just not really seeing. So as I was saying earlier, because, I mean, my mind sometimes on this subject, I get all over the place. But I was able to call in to WFNZ, the local Charlotte sports talk radio station. Real popular, man. It's heard in several states. I would say they have a listening audience that probably approach a million. Now, I don't know what their listening audience is like at 11, you know, between 11 and noon during the day. But I was able to steal about 2-3 minutes to ask the guest, I mean the host of that program, which one of them is a black dude who is a former NFL player, former student athlete in college, okay? So it applies to him. He should have some feelings about it. But the sports talk radio host as well, I think his last name was Bailey. I'm not sure. But the station is WFNZ, whichever show is in that time slot. I think it is the guy's last name. It might be Chip Bailey. I'm not sure, but that sounds kind of stereotypical for a talk radio host. But anyway, I was able to steal a couple of minutes on their program, and I asked them, since Michael McCann isn't on the line taking calls from some of your listeners, to ask him what he thinks about the 13th Amendment and the NCAA using this argument that they don't have to pay athletes because slavery is legal. Look at the 13th Amendment. The federal government and the state governments, and we could also throw in the private prison corporations, which are steadily building up its immigration detainee population. And there was an important ruling that came out today. If I have time, I'll get to later, but it is written about in our program description. But the program is fluid, something, you know, we go wherever, as they say, the spirit takes us. But the Supreme Court just recently ruled that the U.S. government, ICE, I don't know if it's Homeland Security or ICE specifically, or the Trump administration, or the Justice Department, I would imagine, with Jeff Sessions being the chief, quote-unquote, law enforcement officer representing the federal government, I imagine it was them that was arguing that they have the right, the administration, the federal government, the executive branch has the right to indefinitely detain people on immigration questions or statuses. The way the system has been working is they would give them set a bail. Like if they've been brought here as children, you want to talk about DACA. They were brought here as children. They've been living here for 10 years. And although they've been breaking the law, using stolen identity, credentials to get jobs and what have you, that is against the law. All right. So, but, they ain't been involved in no violent crime. Otherwise, they've been pillar members of the community, contribute to the community, put in time with the kids and whatever. But now they're saying that instead of giving them a bail hearing, where we know they're going to show up to these different hearings that are determined whether they can stay or whether they'll be deported, they were giving them bail hearings. And if they can meet that bail, they let them back out. The Supreme Court just said now the federal government has the right to indefinitely detain them. Now, when is the last time we heard that type of language concerning laws and the federal government. Well, whenever you're talking about the National Defense Authorization Act, which I think is legislation, bipartisan legislation, that is signed every year by the CEO of USA Inc., which in this case would be Donald Trump. But times past, Barack Obama, where they used that sort of language and saying that if we label you an enemy combatant in a quote-unquote this war on terror, then we can indefinitely detain you. Do people not understand what indefinite detention means? That means forever. That means forever if they so choose. Look, sounds like we have somebody on the line that may want to chime in on this topic, but I ain't mean to go off on that tangent, but it is related to slavery. It's just all around us. But the NCAA arguing in this civil lawsuit in a motion to dismiss, saying that, hey, the 13th Amendment allows the states and the federal governments to practice slavery, so why can't we? Wow. What are your thoughts, caller from the 478 area code? Thank you for calling in. What's your name and what are your thoughts?
Hi, my name is Kia. How are you? Thank you for taking my call. When I heard about it on your station, I was like, I could believe it, but I couldn't believe it, because it's like, okay, like you said, they really are saying it. But there was an instance, and I think I called about it on not this show, but one of the other shows on your platform. When I was at the University of Memphis, there was a student. He was playing basketball. He got hit in the mouth, you know, I guess elbow, whatever, I don't know. And he started bleeding in the mouth. Now, instead of putting him to the side, which I would think would be the best idea so he can handle himself, I don't know what they did to how they got in this boy's head, but he swallowed the blood and kept on playing. I mean, it wasn't even no Final Four or nothing. This is a regular, it's Tuesday, let's play a basketball game for the season. And nobody said anything about it. People were like, oh, but he's so tough and blah, blah, blah. I was like, there was something wrong with that. And so I emailed because I was at school at the time. So I emailed the people, and I guess they found a black person to email me back, and they was like, well, he was okay. We checked him out and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like,
in your heart,
didn't that just sound like the wrong thing to do?
Right, he could have had a concussion.
They've been treating them like slaves, so I guess, you know, there it is.
Yeah, they just coming out
and I don't understand how the lawyer for, I guess, the plaintiff did not argue simply, he is not a slave, he is a student.
Oh, they are. They are arguing that.
Because I'm like, that would just throw that out right there. And then about the detainees, I mean, I'm not going to say I have total compassion. I do feel bad if you're supposed to get stuck forever. If you don't want people to be here, you should just send them home. You don't keep them forever. That is crazy. But also, I guess, I heard today, I had to go back and watch it, I guess, on CNN, some of the people, you know, that were coming over illegally. And then, you know, like you said, mostly they're not criminal. You know, they're just trying to get a job. You know, everybody trying to get a job. And I guess it was about women. And they were like, well, if the person rapes you, don't say nothing. Just let it happen. I was like, ooh. I was like, they really, that's, you know, and they don't have any criminal, they don't have any recourse, because if they tell, then they could be deported. But someone has violated them. Immigrant, migrant, I don't know, whatever you call them. You don't have, that should not be happening to you at all. So it's bad all the way around. But that slavery thing, when I saw that, you put that up there, it's like, it's official. So I had to try to find a way to weave that into my class, because I teach accounting. So I'm trying to weave it in when we talk about outsourcing, because that's what they do. They outsource a lot of stuff to the prisons. So I'm trying to bring it up that way, to bring it up that it's slavery, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, doing accounting exercise. How much is the state, quote, unquote, saving by using prison slave labor?
Well, not just the state. You know, like you said, the private organizations.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there as an example. I'm just throwing there as an example of a worksheet. Because that's a great idea. Find a way to teach our young people and adults as well. And what do you think about, you know, to be honest with you, I was like, this lawyer, I don't know how to feel about this lawyer. Is he really that stupid? Or did he do that on purpose to sabotage the NCAA? I don't know. I'm like, even if I was arguing on behalf, as an attorney, on behalf of, I'm not an attorney though, but if I was the attorney for the NCAA, it's no way I'm responding to a lawsuit from a former student athlete that says, hey, at the very least, you should pay these student athletes what you pay people in work study, even if it's just a federal minimum wage. In the very least, you're making billions every year annually, you know, just again, sign an $8 billion deal with just CBS. That's not to mention the little side deals with the other networks and the radio and oh man, they're making billions and billions of dollars, you know?
Yeah, and then like this, what you can do, I guess in general, just in passing, because it's, well, March is what, Thursday, Friday, you know, that tournament is coming up. You can
March
ask people,
the 13th.
You want to watch Slavery on TV? That's how you, and they were like, Slavery on TV? And you could just bring up the article.
I like that.
Slavery on TV?
I like that. I definitely, hey, let's go watch some slaves shoot some hoops through the basket. Let's go watch some slaves. Because they're admitting it now, so we got, and again, now you've listened to BTR News and heard me on Black Talk Radio Network for quite some time. And I don't know if you recall, but I've always been resistant to comparing student athletes to
yeah,
to
you have, but you've been
slaves.
Like, no, they ain't slaves. They get a check, blah, blah, blah.
No, that's professional athletes. But college
you have
athletes.
Been resistant, 'cause you're like, they can go wherever they want. And
yeah,
I mean,
they
I,
can
I,
choose
I
not to
thing.
Do
you
it.
You don't have to go, but I right. guess if you go, that's your agreement to be a slave. Like, what was it, in Vermont, I guess? You were. I know y'all were going over, like, the laws, and in Vermont, if you agree to be a slave, that's all. So I guess if you go to the University of Vermont, you out of luck. I guess.
So, but I've been resisting, but now I changed my mind. I've changed my mind because who am I to argue with something that they're telling me? They're telling me these are slaves, so I'm not going to argue with you. Okay, you are practicing slavery then because, you know, slavery comes in many forms. There's prison slavery, there's military slavery, as we were discussing on Tando Radio Show earlier. And now there is a college sports slavery. So I changed my mind.
Because everybody who works for the school get a check. When I was a TA, I got a check. Because that's what you are, working for the school.
Right. Now,
you could call that fraudulent accounting practices because you're supposed to match up the expenses with the revenue. How you generate all this revenue with no expense? Talk about tuition, please.
Right.
I see them not go to class.
Right.
And ain't nobody say nothing, please.
Right. Let's take a listen to Jalen Rose, who now Jalen's kind of confusing me here. But he has, in the past 24 hours, been going kind of strong on the NCAA. But what's dominating the corporate media sports channels right now is the FBI indictments of these 10 former coaches and the naming of these players where, you know, people might have been paid $100,000. Loans were arranged to go to families where, you know, things that they're saying are against the rules. But these are actually criminal acts. And they fall under RICO. But that's what the mainstream media has been focusing on again. I was able to bring it up for 2 to 3 minutes. The host on WFNZ, which is a widely listened to station out of Charlotte, he pulled up the article while I was on air. I told him, pull it up. Pull up the 13th Amendment. NCAA saying that they don't have to pay the student athletes because they are like prison slaves. Because the 13th Amendment says slavery is okay as punishment for crime. And he pulled it up and he scanned it. And he said, because I asked him to comment on it. And he was like, but if that's what they said, I'm not saying they didn't say that, but I'm a journalist and I need to look it up. And so I'm going to look it up. But if that's what they said, that's very vile of them. That I stayed tuned in to the station for 2 hours more. I didn't stop work. Obviously, I could work, but I listened to the station on the app, tune in app on my phone while I continue to work, and they never brought it up again. I hope they'll bring it up in the next 24 hours, but this is a story of that magnitude that not only sports talk media should be talking about this, but your so-called political news media. You know, where you either they say it leans right or left. So let's listen to Jalen Rose, and he's saying they running this like a cartel. And I think he was on Sports Center. It might have been ESPN.
Do you ever think that the NCAA, the governing body, can be governed? Or is it just a lost cause there?
How about this, Carrie? They're basically running an organization like a cartel. It's indentured servitude to what we're seeing take place. A player can't make money off of their own likeness. They can't sign an autograph. As a scholarship athlete, you're not allowed to have a job. Did you know that the NCAA is a nonprofit organization? It's actually a 501c3. Picture that for an organization that makes multi-billions of dollars off the backs of players and athletes and of that nature. So, again, the NCAA just continues to operate, continues to rake in the money. And, yes, it is a great opportunity to play collegiate sports. It was one of the best times in my life. But at some point, we have to realize there are too many dollars changing hands. The players must be involved with these transactions.
So that's a clip that was posted. I'm not sure whose Twitter account this is. Actually, it was posted by Jalen Rose on his Twitter account. As you know, he is an analyst on, I think it's ESPN, but whatever network he's on. And so that was him right there. Now, I think he's talking about the FBI indictment, which I believe is mentioned in RICO charges, where, you know, these coaches were involved in these illegal payments to student athletes and parents, if you will. All right. So I think that's what he's responding to. But then he mentions involuntary servitude. So I'm like, wait a minute. What involuntary servitude has nothing to do with the FBI indictments? So I'm wondering if subconsciously Jalen Rose was thinking about Sean King's article in The Intercept that again, let me pull up that headline that said the NCAA says student athletes shouldn't be paid because the 13th Amendment allows unpaid prison labor. Again, the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery. It says slavery and involuntary servitude shall be abolished except as punishment for crime where a person has been duly convicted. Again, it's crazy for an attorney. I mean, is this attorney just out of law school or something? Student athletes have not been convicted of crime, so why are you trying to apply this to this situation to try to get the courts to dismiss this lawsuit? Is it perhaps because it has a winning record in the courts, the argument and saying we don't have to pay you because of the 13th Amendment allows for slavery? But the caveat is it allows for prison slavery. People who have been convicted of crimes, doesn't matter if they're guilty or not, long as they have been duly convicted. So I'm like, this got to be a student fresh out of law school. Why would you even? But I appreciate it. I really love that person for even presenting that argument. I'm sure they didn't make that argument by themselves. They probably had a little discussion with their client, the NCAA. Look, this is how we're going to approach or defend ourselves against this lawsuit. We're going to use the 13th Amendment because all of these different prisoners sued the federal government, state government over decades, over the year, and they used the 13th Amendment, and the court said that, hey, this is legal. This is legal slavery because you're a prisoner. So it don't even apply to student athletes. But again, I appreciate them making this argument. I'm hearing something on the line. Do we have another comment from one of the callers? I think we got 347 on the line. That might be our brother Ross out of NYC or brother Thomas. Which one?
Peace, Scotty. How are you, brother?
I'm doing the best I can. What's on your mind, Thomas?
This is Thomas.
What's your take on what we've been discussing thus far?
Oh, man. All right, first I want to say this, Scotty. I worked at several top-tier law firms. There's no out-of-college lawyer touching this case. This is the NCAA. This is a big client for them, a well-known client. The only people touching this case is partners. The only paralegals working on this case is the top ones. This is the big time. You know, any law firm, I don't care which one, the biggest to the smallest, if their clients, the NCAA, their top people is touching that case. So this is deliberate. Another thing they do to these players is they take out insurance on them. Let's just say I get hurt and I pop my knee. And I finish out the school year, and they don't redo my scholarship. They might have took out $1 million insurance policy on me if I was a good player, or $100,000 insurance policy. So it's just like slavery. And then this whole law has me thinking. These state schools are some of the biggest colleges. You know, Michigan State, Ohio State, the State College in New Jersey is Rutgers. I'm not sure in New York they have a different system here, but these state schools are essentially practicing slavery, and we own them. We the citizens own those schools. Yeah,
you mean the public?
Whatever,
you mean
Carolina,
the public?
That state,
you mean the public and, colleges and universities, right? The public colleges and universities that are supported by the tax dollars that are
Yeah, so we're doing a lot of this, unbeknownst to us. Our taxpayers is paying for slavery, and I have a really big problem with that. So I don't think it's up to the athletes to fix this problem. I think it's up to the people, because they're using our money. This system, like I said before, you know, is corporate welfare. These colleges don't pay for nothing. The boosters are paying for most of the stuff at the school. They got the state paying for everything else. They're overcharging tuition. You know, this is just, and when Hillary was talking about she wanted to make college free for everyone, see, that would have messed up their whole
That
place.
Was not Hillary, A. Thomas. I got to correct you there.
Oh, that was Bernie Sanders, my
yeah,
bad.
Bernie that's right.
Sanders. I'm sorry about that, Scotty. But when he said that, you know, that would have messed up their slave system big time.
Yes, it would
have.
The
last thing I wanted to say, Scotty, I don't know if you reported it already, but Bill Cosby's daughter passed, and I suspect foul play. Just the way his whole life has played out, with his son passing, dying, being murdered right at the time when he was about to buy CBS back in the 80s, and then when he has the money and he owns the copyrights to a lot of stuff. When he tried to buy NBC not too long ago, all of a sudden 40-year-old rape allegations start popping up and he's drugging women. You never heard this, and now all of a sudden his daughter passes, so he has no one to leave his legacy to, and I suspect foul play. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome for that. I've seen the story. You may have posted it, and I'm going to mute everybody just to preserve quality from those who have spoken already. But you can chime back in. Just hit star when you're ready to speak. Our Periscope stream, our second try at it. It's been going with no problems thus far. For those that are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network via Periscope, you can give us a call on these topics at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. Once you're in the queue, to unmute yourself, hit star. I might hear you, or I'll see you, and just watch your background noise. All right, so definitely. To Thomas, I don't pay attention. I haven't paid a lot of attention to that Bill Cosby story, but I had seen in our social media community for our network, btrcommunity.com, the story was posted there. You may have posted it. I read about it. She was like almost 50 or in her 50s. So I haven't spent a lot of energy on that. You know, I've been really focusing on, you know, 21st century slavery and these related stories, because these are like stories that should be what I would call jaw droppers. You know, if I was a person and I didn't realize that slavery was never abolished because none of my college professors, high school teachers taught me or read to me or showed me the 13th Amendment has an exception clause as punishment for crime. And then I read that the NCAA is saying that student athletes are akin to slaves or indentured servants. And then, so I don't have to pay them. That's like a jaw dropper right there. You know what I'm saying? If I had no knowledge of the 13th Amendment and the fact that slavery was never abolished. So, you know, I suspect mentioning, Thomas, you mentioned foul play. I suspect foul play in the six corporations that control 95% of the television, of the cable, of the movie screens, of everything. I suspect foul play is suppressing this story thus far. Because Jalen Rose ain't really, he, you know, I would have to see that full clip. But I don't think he's mentioning the 13th Amendment. Now, I did reply to him tweeting that clip out on his Twitter account and asked him, hey, what about the 13th Amendment? Whatever it was, I brought it up and gave him a link to Sean King's article on The Intercept. So I don't know, you know, maybe again, I don't know the context. So when he said involuntary servitude in that clip, when he was calling the NCAA a criminal cartel, basically, they're operating like criminals. They are. They just been indicted by the FBI. Okay? And yes, the NCAA is going to try to play dumb, blind, deaf, and dumb. We didn't see no evil. We didn't hear about no evil. Look, this is systemic. As the FBI agents wrote in this investigation, again, this is a two-year investigation, that these were systemic problems at these universities. Don't you have compliance officers? I mean, you have an athletic director. Aren't they responsible for a university's compliance and what have you? But it got to the point to where they were laundering money, because you're not supposed to give the money to the student athletes or their parents. You know, you're not, hey, if you feel sorry for them and you know, hey, what we really doing, I'm a coach and I know I'm practicing slavery by these kids. So I feel bad for these kids. They really, really poor. Their family really poor. They struggling and mama got cancer or whatnot. So I'm going to shoot them $10,000. I'm going to help this family get out the hood. No one is totally against the rules. And so you can't even do that. And that's a criminal offense if you try to get around the rules by laundering the money, which is when they're talking about wire fraud and things of that nature. That's what the FBI is accusing them of in this indictment. So Jalen Rose is talking about they acting like a mafia, organized crime. And again, organized crime has always been involved and probably still is today in sports betting heavily, college and pros. So hopefully Jalen Rose, in the next couple of days, he will get wind of this. Maybe he will invite on, because I think he co-hosts one of the programs. I think he hosts a program with this white guy. Maybe they'll have on this guest, who Sean King, the reporter. Remember, he's written for New York Daily News, but he's writing for The Intercept in this article, telling you about the NCAA. Maybe they'll have Sean King on. Let's hope for that. Maybe I'm not going to hold my breath, but maybe Rachel Maddow or what's the other, Chris Hayes or whatever that guy's name is, because this intersects with criminal justice issues as well. They're comparing student athletes to people who have been victimized by the criminal justice system and basically calling the student athlete the criminals, even though they ain't, you know, and we have a right to profit off of them. Is there a conspiracy in the corporate media to suppress this story? Or am I just not being patient enough? And because it's been 3 days I was told by an insider, that's all it takes. You know, y'all guys, y'all come out with your YouTube videos, your Periscope videos, your stuff on Facebook. And usually, you know, you might be breaking some news or talking about something that's not being talked about. But the mainstream media, the corporate media, usually 3 days later, they catch up to it. Well, it's been 5 days since Mr. King, Sean King, published this article in The Intercept, which has been cited. And I would suggest, if it has not already, be nominated for a Pulitzer. Okay, that's The Intercept. Based off the coverage that they have been doing related to politics and social issues and what have you. So, you know, go over to The Intercept. So the host of WFNZ, again, man, I even texted them. And I was like, oh, so what, you're going to answer the caller's question? Is the story even true? So I'm going to be trying to call in and interject that story. And I think other abolitionists out there that listen to sports talk radio, and y'all appalled at this, we can't let there be a media blackout. But I tell you one blackout that we should be pushing for, and that's a blackout of March Madness. We should be boycotting March Madness in the NCAA over this. Can we not be fanatics for one? What? How long is the NCAA tournament? 2 weeks? I'm not sure. 2 weeks? Can we not be fanatics for 2 weeks? Can we not look at sports-related television for 2 weeks? Can we not reward CBS for paying $8.3 billion to lease some college slaves and broadcast that for our entertainment? Again, I was resistant in calling college athletes slaves, because still these kids can walk away at any time. And they can go overseas and play ball. In basketball, some of them can go straight from high school to the pros, like your LeBron James, but you ain't got a whole bunch of LeBron James and stuff out there. But they definitely, a lot more of these kids could go to Italy, Venezuela, Mexico, they could go to China. And they can make tens of thousands of dollars a year, perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Who knows, perhaps a million a year. That might sound like peanuts compared to what NBA contracts look like, but guess what? They ain't being pimped out as slaves either, are they? And they're being compensated. So let's not play, you know, Jalen Rose is kind of wrong in putting it on the athletes in another clip, you know, that we shared on not tonight's broadcast, but some earlier media that we put out. He said the players should recognize that the power that they have, and they have the leverage in this situation. And so therefore, what they should do is not go walk out on the court. Show up like they gonna play the game, and their jerseys come out, you know, the locker room, do the player announcements and all that. And when it comes time to tip off, everybody get out there to tip it off, line up like how you're supposed to, and then right before when the referee throw the ball up in the air, everybody just walk off the court in protest of the NCAA just calling us slaves and being so greedy that they don't even want to pay us federal minimum wage as work-study students and prohibit me from even getting a job on my own. Come on, y'all. What kind of society are you willing to stand for, Americans? It is very evident that slavery was never abolished. So, to me, there's a question that each and every one of us should ask ourselves. Are we abolitionists or are we slavers? Are we going to tune in to March Madness and clap and cheer and spend a bunch of money up in a bar on some nacho cheese and hot dogs and stuff like that and let these people profit off of these students? These are actually children. Here's another argument I want to introduce into the conversation. And I see your call, CMCP, and I'm going to come right to you before we go to break. But I want to introduce this. Now, technically, we're talking about some of these students may be as young as 17 years old, 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old. 21, if you're good in sports, is pretty old. A lot of these students don't stick around for the full 4 years because they know you can get hurt and injured and never play again and never make a penny. And the NCAA ain't got no pension for you if you got hurt and crippled out there. They not going to take care of you. They got insurance for themselves, as Brother Thomas brought up. Just like they would take out with Wells Fargo, which is around today, and invested in private prison slavery and making it work, along with six other major banks like Bank of America. But back then, the plantation owner take out insurance on their victims of slavery in case, hey, I had them out there behind that mule and that mule kicked them in the head, gave them a concussion, messed them up for life. He just ain't been right since that mule kicked him in the head. That's work-related injury. And I'm using the mule kit to bring up the fact that we got these student athletes out there getting concussed out there like a mule and kicked them in the head. Head encouraged to headhunt each other and to harm each other. That's the way they can stand out in the pros. Who puts the hardest hits on? Man, it's savagery. And I'm an athlete and I enjoy sports and I'm not against sports, but I'm against, I guess, the profit motive now. And these people saying this is straight up slavery and I'm against slavery and I'm recognizing this as another form of slavery. Because the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights says slavery should be abolished in all its forms. Here's another form of slavery. See, we got a caller, CMCP. Thank you for tuning in and now calling in to BTR News. What's on your mind concerning these topics?
Well, I truly believe, I don't have the proof yet, but I truly believe that the NCAA is funded and also supports these private prisons. Because who's making their merchandise? Who's making the shoes, the uniforms? Who's making down to the basketball, all the stuff that they do, everything that they're utilizing to bring in the money to not pay these players? It's almost like they, you know, where are they getting this material and who's paying for it, even though the taxpayers are? And the other thing is, when these players sign these contracts, I'm sure these contracts probably say what they can and cannot do, as well as the payroll of the coaches and anyone that's getting actually paid to assist these players. And, you know, it is slavery. And I stopped watching sports a way long time ago because I start to see that. I start to see the young brother coming from the hood and end up getting hurt and coming back home and had nothing. You know, and the coach still got his job making over 100. Or the brother that sees how the system works and gets into it and they can't maintain this brother, so they dismiss him from the whole team and he's stuck working at Kroger with a 1 year of college. So this is exposing it, what that guy did. It came out and then, you know, you speaking on it and other people are speaking on it. I believe it's going to expose the whole sports system, because not just the NCAA is pimping these players. It's pretty much all sports and all entertainment.
It's the entertainment industry, CBS. You know, I had put out a poll recently on Twitter, and I was saying, would people be interested in a boycott against these prison slavery films? They call them reality shows, where they're inside the prisoners, and the prisoners are stars. They're the star of the show. It comes on network television, come on cable television. They got the shows on Netflix, on Hulu. The popular show, real popular right now, escapes me. I think it's in its last season, but you still got the clips on YouTube, and it's generating millions of dollars. And I was saying, this is the film industry profiting off of prison slavery, off of slavery. They're not paying the prisoners who are the stars of their shows. And in some cases, the prisoners are even getting actor credits when you go look up, you know, the movie, they tell you who the actors are, the directors are, the producers are. You got prisoners giving acting credits, even though they're not acting. They're really in prison, and they haven't been paid. Yeah, go ahead. So I'm saying we should boycott
that lockdown show.
Yeah, one of them, whatever it's called. I'm not sure if it's lockdown or something else.
There's one in Venezuela, and they're making crazy money off of them. It's like the worst prison ever. Netflix got a lot of that prison slave plantation kind of crap where the director will go in there and sit with the prisoners and watch them on his daily day. And then, you know, they making money off of streams. But this stuff got to end, because this could be any one of us. It could be, I know it's some people we know in our family. It could happen to any of us stepping outside, not having the proper credentials, and you be in there on the network talking about what you did not do. Mm-hmm. So it the justice has to come.
All right. Well, we appreciate your comments at any time. Chime back in. I do want to take a music break. My throat is kind of dry, and I'm going to grab a cup of water. But, again, this is a very, very, very enlightening story. It should be. It should enlighten whoever reads about it, whoever hears Sean King or the victim in this case, the guy who filed the lawsuit, the former student athlete. You know, if this doesn't move you, to recognize that slavery has never been abolished, and it comes in different forms, and we as a society, as Americans, whatever that means, people living on this continent of North America, to allow this federal government in the states, in the colleges, in the universities, who also participated in 1865 slavery. See, my mind be all over the place and stuff. I be recalling stuff. There was a woman who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, again, where I'm not, where we're based at, not far from Charlotte, North Carolina. She had done her family research through census records and had help from the genealogy groups. And she found out that one of her ancestors, it might have been a great-great-grandparent, who was enslaved by Georgetown University, was among 8 or 9 people that were listed as property of Georgetown University. Now, this is also not only a college and a university, but it is also a Catholic institution, and we know the Catholics' history in slavery. But her ancestor, it was a black male, was listed among those victims of slavery of Georgetown University. I wonder how much Georgetown University has made over the decades, because I remember when I was a young person in my 20s and maybe 30s, but I believe most so are in my 20s, when what was his name? Patrick O'Neal, I think that's his name, the 7-footer that ended up playing for the New York Knicks. Then you had Alonzo Mourning that played for Georgetown University. Hey, they would always go deep in the tournament, you know? And Georgetown, Allen Iverson, he was one and done with the Georgetown University. So I would say Georgetown University is one of those top 10, top 15, definitely top 20 money-making programs. Basketball, these universities are making these billions of dollars off of. And so they want to apologize to the woman in Charlotte. They ain't offer her reparations, but they want to apologize and they acknowledge the history. And I appreciate whoever found the records, because they found the records among old records at Georgetown University. So it was a staff member. And I appreciate them not burning it, you know, or shredding it and archiving it and letting the public know. And this woman, you know, being able to find that out about her ancestor who was a victim of enslavers at Georgetown University. And now today, Georgetown University, along with all the other member universities of NCAA, in a lawsuit against a former student athlete, are saying we had a right to practice slavery against you, just like we did against that woman's ancestor. That's the bare bones of it, people. Let's not be PC about this. Let's not mix words. This is straight up what we're looking at here in America. Now, we are going to take a station identification. Look, we got another person on the board, so I'm going to take this call. Then I definitely have to take a station identification break. We'll play one music track, but let's go back to our sister out of Georgia. You wanted to chime back in. What are your thoughts?
I agree. Yes. And I was going to, you know, help with some of the names. But I think, again, just like these young people are going against the gun stuff, which, you know, yay for them. You know, that's really good. But all we have to do, and, you know, if we're around kids that go to schools, you know, especially the colleges, are you going to the slave show? Not just basketball, because all of it, technically, lacrosse, you know, all the ones where the white people play, they were like, we ain't slaves. That's what the NCAA said about you. It's right here. Because the thing, I don't think it just singles out basketball from what I read. I know most of the money. But no, lacrosse, that crew, rowing, hockey, all of it now. Baseball, you going to the slave show? Woo-woo, have fun. So sometimes you have to shame people and stuff. Is that where you're going?
Most certainly. You're giving me some ideas because the Black Talk Media Project wants to invest some of the donations that come into our nonprofit to contract with some of these brothers and sisters that's on Fiverr to create little 30-second, 1-minute, 2-minute skits just like you see on television, except for we contract with them to produce them following our script, and then we promote it through social media. And so that's a good idea, right? Hey, you going to the slave show? I agree with you, sister. So thank you for that idea. Make people think.
Welcome.
All right, so we're going to take a station identification break and play a music track, and then when we come back, we'll close out the program. Again, if you have any questions or comments, whether you're on Periscope, listening to us on TuneIn, or any of the other outlets, but our home is blacktalkradionetwork.com. You can give us a call at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. Hit star to put yourself in the queue. Please watch your background noise as we try to preserve the quality of this broadcast. But again, this is just I would say it's unbelievable, but hey, I've been reporting on it for 6 years and trying to convince others, so it's not unbelievable. We'll be back.
The state of hip-hop is awful, straight terrible. It promotes death and destruction now. The original principles of hip-hop culture is peace, unity, love, and having fun. The principles of what we call slave hip-hop is violence, chaos, hate, and danger. Slave hip-hop must be abolished, and we must save African people from this nonsense and bring hip-hop back to where it used to be.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Playback!
Your heart, cause I know you got a soul. Hey. Listen, if you're missing, y'all, swinging while I'm singing.
Hey.
Give it what you're getting, knowing what I'm knowing, while the black band's sweating in the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want, gotta give us what we need.
Hey.
Our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power.
Power,
that beat. As the rhythm's designed to bounce with calcifental rhymes, designed to fill your mind, now that you realize the prize arrives,
we got
to pump the stuff to make it tough. From the heart, it's the start of work of art.
revolutionize, make a change, thus it's great. People, we all the same, no, we're not the same, cause we don't know the game. What we need is awareness, we can't get careless. You say, what is this? All the loving, let's get down to business, mental self-defense or fitness. The rest is shown. In order to fight the power that be, fight the power, 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 fight the power. We got to fight the power that be.
Of slave ships than one would dream. It seems inconceivable until you reflect that for 200 years ships sailed carrying cargo of slaves.
Non-violent. In the face of the violence that we've been experiencing for the past 400 years, is actually doing our people a disservice. In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums!
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I tell you, man, we got to fight the power, man. And, you know, I appreciate Malcolm X. He is the reason why the Black Talk Media Project exists. And relaying to me from the afterlife, I guess you could say, that media is very important because it controls the mind of people. All right, and it really does. But, you know, and him saying, you know, it doesn't make sense for us to practice nonviolence and to face all this violence. But for those folks out there that don't want to pick up arms to abolish slavery, for example, like many abolitionists were willing to do, you know, which led to the Civil War. That was because of abolitionist pressure. All right, that it didn't just happen. They wasn't arguing over nothing else. But, well, they had many disagreements between the states and the federal government, but none of them was they weren't going to go to war over it, because none of those other issues was generating the massive profits that slavery was. But if you're a nonviolent person, if you're not willing to enlist as a soldier to end slavery, then one of the nonviolent things that you should be doing to prevent any need for violence. There are things that we could do today. All right, well, it's after business hours, but, you know, open business tomorrow, wherever you are, 9 o'clock a.m., whatever time the bank's open. You could do something as simple as taking your money out of the six banks, your dollars out of the six banks that's underwriting private prisons. That's one element, another element or tentacle of this beast that called slavery that's being practiced in the United States. These private prisons, day-to-day operations, we was talking about insurance and all that type of stuff. There are intricate financial links between all these institutions and corporations, and they had to go abide by certain regulations. And look, the six banks, if you just pulled your money out of, and I can only recall a few right now, but we definitely looked that information out, recycle it on social media through our accounts, Black Talk Radio. But Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo been practicing slavery since before the Civil War, baby. All right. J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, BNP Paribas, and I can't recall the other two or three. But just take, those are the largest. Those are the most well-known. What if you took your dollars and found a credit union like my mother did when I told her that Wells Fargo is the second largest investor in the private prison company, Geo Group, and they also help write their day-to-day operations, underwrite their debt. She got with my sister, who is a teacher, and got in the teacher's credit union as her family member, as her mother. If you're not willing to do that, then something nonviolent like that. If you're not willing to turn your television sets off during March Madness, if you're not willing to do that, then you shouldn't say anything about how someone rises up to end slavery, because you won't even use the nonviolent tools at your disposal. So you're not serious about ending slavery while millions of people suffering. Now, these college athletes, before I move on from that story, we got about 10 minutes left in the broadcast. I was asking my cousin that lives next door. Me and him played basketball in junior high together and, you know, countless of times at the park and recreation courts. So, you know, we both former basketball players. And I asked him, I said, did you hear about the NCAA saying that student athletes are akin to prison slaves and using the 13th Amendment to justify not paying them even as little as federal minimum wage for all the hours they put in for that sport, for that university to make them billions of dollars? And he said he hadn't heard it, so he looked it up real quick on his phone, and he found the story. But then he told me, now he's college educated, he went to college, a four-year college, and he met a bunch of people that went to other colleges, not just his own, because we have a number of people that have graduated college from this area I live in. But he said that he came across this guy that he met. He was younger. The guy was younger than my cousin. My cousin, like me, we're in our mid-50s. So, you know, my cousin said this guy said to him he had played football at the University of North Carolina for 2 years, and he quit. Now, my cousin said that the reason given was that the young man said he was a slave. This is what my cousin told me today. I'ma definitely get the name, see if my cousin remember his name, if it's a way we can contact him and bring him on to BTR News for a young person to recognize that fact and what influenced them. Did they read something? Did someone in their life explain the dynamics of college athletic slavery to them? And he said, you know what? This is like slavery. They working me to death. They don't really care about me, you know, graduating or doing well in my classes, my academic classes. They requiring all this time of me to be in this gym, lifting weights and honing my craft so that the University of North Carolina might one day get an invitation to a bowl game or even compete for a national championship and bring in millions, because it's probably hundreds of millions if we're talking football. I don't think they're paying that much. I could be wrong. As much as they're paying for the broadcasting rights for the NCAA March Madness tournament. But, you know, again, getting back to the nonviolent things, turn that off. Let's say no to March Madness. Let's say no. I might have even been tempted to watch a game because my little grandson, my oldest grandson, 6 years old, I was just helping, you know, this coach. I guess you could say I was his assistant, but the parents and I went there. I'm a grandparent. And it was obvious that this guy did not know what he was doing with these 6 and 7 year olds, 5, 6 and 7 year olds. And they were getting demolished in the games. So they asked me, knowing, you know, my background in basketball, if I would offer my help to this coach. And so I might have been tempted to watch some basketball games with my grandson, like the NCAA tournament. I'm telling you, no more. Not just the tournament. We'll never watch another NCAA basketball game at all, period. Okay? We'll find another visual for him to learn the sports, because I am not anti-sports. That's how people are able to stay in shape. That aren't, you know, they don't have these $100 memberships to gyms and spas and all of that. That's how we get, you know, I don't want to say I live in the ghetto, but let's call it the ghetto workout on that basketball court. I put many hours on that basketball court, okay? And it kept me in shape. It kept cardiovascular. I don't think there's anything more strenuous than running up and down constantly up a basketball court for hours and running and jumping. So it is good for our health. But when it comes to, I would even say high school now, because you got your high school boosters and they're building million-dollar stadiums for man, we got to say no. We got to say no. We got to put our foot down and say no to slavery. They're being upfront and blatant with it in our face. What else? What more evidence do you need? This is not a conspiracy theory. When New Abolitionist Radio launched 6 years ago, after I read the 13th Amendment and I wanted some on-air talent and hunted down some people who were already talking about the issue on social media and said, would you be interested in this project to start a weekly radio, 2-hour radio program highlighting the fact that slavery was never abolished because of the 13th Amendment. And then sharing these stories that we read about every day, people getting shot by, y'all say police, we say slave catchers. When we hear about these women being hog-tied, water withheld, so that they would give in to the sexual demands of guards in Michigan, y'all call them guards, we call them plantation overseers. Nothing has changed, people. We've all been told a lie. This lie has been promoted by the most powerful entity on the face of the planet, according to Malcolm X, and that's the media. And bolstered by education. How many children, school children in kindergarten this year, you think heard a story or two about Abraham Lincoln and how he emancipated some victims of slavery? He did emancipate some victims of slavery, but he never abolished it. He, along with other members of Congress, negotiated an exception clause that would allow the Confederates, and not just the Confederate Southern states, but all the states, to continue to profit off of slavery as long as you convict these former slaves of crimes. Long documented history, but it's been painted with a tainted perspective coming straight from these same universities and colleges, which may have been built by victims of slavery. They certainly own some. I'm sure that woman in Charlotte's ancestor wasn't just planting gardens and going to Bible study and handing the monks the Bibles and taking care of the altars. I'm sure, no, they was probably doing some hard manual labor. And if I'm not mistaken, I think her ancestor was involved in building. Many of these universities and colleges got endowments from slavers, families that made fortunes off of slavery. And how dare these universities still practice it, but be so bold to admit to our faces that that's what they're doing. It's time to abolish slavery in all its forms, by any means necessary, as Malcolm said. I suggest that we promote this boycott of this upcoming March Madness, citing this lawsuit in the 13th Amendment and the NCAA, saying that their student athletes are no better than victims of slavery, because I don't want to use dehumanizing terms. Everybody in prison ain't a criminal. But if we can't, let's make an impact. People who were boycotting the NFL over Colin Kaepernick, isn't this cause just as worthy? Different sport, same issue, element of slavery. That's what Colin Kaepernick was protesting. That's why he was pointing out who wrote the national anthem. Who wrote that? Francis Scott Keyes, a slaver. So, that's all I got to say about it. Doesn't look like we have any more callers that want to chime in. I will just share some quick points with you from some of the other news stories. Stephen A. Smith did comment on this, and I'll play just a couple of minutes of it before we close out. But he wasn't commenting on the 13th Amendment again. He commented, and I tweeted at him too. Hopefully tomorrow on his program, he will be made aware of the Intercept article by Sean King pointing out that the NCAA is defending itself against a lawsuit by saying that they shouldn't have to pay student athletes any wage because slavery is legal, inciting the 13th Amendment. Maybe Stephen A. will talk about it tomorrow. But he's talking about some other corruption involved with this evil entity known as the NCAA. Let me get this audio unmuted.
That's completely and utterly bogus.
Victory is a necessity.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take Your Take, exclusively on Facebook Watch. This show is all about you having the chance to debate the biggest topics in sports right here with us. So let's get right into it. Gentlemen, the topic this week is, considering all of the recent scandals, what changes would you make to the NCAA? Stephen A. Smith, the floor is yours.
Well, you know what? The first order of business is I'd be about the business of holding the NCAA more accountable. I figured that out. They're a nonprofit organization. That's what they call themselves, from my understanding. We know the billions that they rake in. Supposedly, everything they're doing is in the best interest of the student athlete, when we all know that's completely and utterly bogus. And so as a result of that, we need to make sure we put the microscope on them and the dominion that they have over these young athletes. Me personally, the way I'd say holding them more accountable is I'd institute a players association representing college athletes. The college athlete has no representation. Professional athletes have representation, but the college athletes do not. And since you won't allow them to have an agent, how about a body that literally is there to protect the interest of the student athlete, to make sure that I's are dotted and T's are crossed as it pertains to the NCAA and their treatment of these players, to ensure that fairness, it trickles down to the student athlete just like it does everywhere else, as opposed to the student athlete being exploited and ultimately ostracized with arbitrary decisions one after another on the part of the NCAA. You hold them accountable by making sure young student athletes have some form of representation and they're not at the mercy of the NCAA.
I want to pause it right there right quick, because I do agree with the notion of a players union, a student athletes union, players union. Don't you have student unions already? I could be mistaken. You have student government they elect people and whatnot. Same thing as a union, right? They're supposed to deal with the administration on issues related to grievances of students. So I think that makes sense, but I disagree with him in his analysis in saying that students don't have any representation. Because these are student athletes, again, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. Many of them still dependents, probably being listed as dependents by their parents, because certainly they are not the dependents of the universities, all right? And remember the whole thing about the Affordable Care Act, and if your child is in college, you can keep them on the parents' work insurance. So we're talking about dependents. So the parent is the agent or should be acting as the agent. And it should make you rethink some things. You know, Cam Newton, who is an NFL, former NFL player of the year quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, which play in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, his father was accused of taking $100,000 from one of these universities in order for Cam Newton to go played there. He ended up going to Auburn, where he won a national championship, and then went on to the NFL after playing 1 year of major college sports, won the Heisman Trophy and everything. So people want to act like Cecil Newton, his father, like, you know, I don't know if the allegations were true or not, but let's say they were true on face value. Like, Cecil did something bad, but I'm looking at it in this light. In revelation of what the NCAA is saying about them being slaves is, hey, he was being an agent for his son. He knew that they were about to exploit his son as a slave. Because, see, he had other sons that played. Cecil played. I think Cecil played a couple of years pro. So he know the game. And, yeah, it's against NCAA rules, and they suspended Cam Newton for 1 day. Okay, this was right before the championship game, because they didn't want, and they suspended him only for 1 day, and saying that Cam Newton, and he probably didn't, had no knowledge of the negotiations between his fathers and those schools and whoever allegedly gave him $100,000. And then they lifted the suspension so that he could play in the NCAA football championship game. Because if he had not played, you know how much money they would have lost in viewership. This is a Heisman Trophy winner. So, you know, I disagree with him when he say they have no representation. They need stronger representation. But I think some, you know, to protect them further, we should be advocating for some laws as well. All right, so I'm going to leave it at that. Check out some other news, some real quick news briefs before we close out the program. And other news, the U.S. federal government and prison corporations, and I discussed this earlier in the broadcast about immigrants, undocumented immigrants, whatever you want to call them. The U.S. federal government and prison corporations were just given the green light by the United States Supreme Court to indefinitely detain civilians who may be facing non-criminal charges of being in the country without proper documentation. If reports are true, then this means that according to this ruling, an undocumented immigrant could technically be held in a prison for their natural life on immigration charges. The potential for profits and exploitation of detainees is very high in the wake of this legal ruling. So if you want to leave your comments and thoughts, you could do so in the comments section. The podcast for tonight's broadcast will be posted there as well, but this is where we link up to all the articles in the program description. Leave your thoughts on that. Again, we hadn't heard this sort of language outside of the so-called war on terror and labeling people enemy combatants and saying you can detain them without charges, okay? Detain them indefinitely. Never charge them, never bring them to trial, and they will die in prison. That's not justice. That's not how we are propagandized to and saying that that's how a system is supposed to work. But now they are expanding that to undocumented immigrants. This is a Supreme Court ruling. This sets precedents. This is going to be a boom for the private prison companies. This means longer holds on these bodies, these undocumented immigrants awaiting civil trials or hearings to determine their legal status, whether they'll be deported or not. Doesn't matter to the GEO group, doesn't matter to CCA, as long as these bodies are in those cells, they getting paid. They getting paid. So do you not think they will be lobbying let me back up. I bet you they lobbied for this ruling in the Trump administration taking this stance. The last thing that I'll share with you, lastly, can the social media verse, this is me making a personal plea, stop with the incorrect and despicable memes that are claiming that there was no drama during the Obama administration, because that will be blatantly untrue and not supported by the public record. Y'all seen these memes where people say Donald Trump, 20 scandals, President Obama, zero. Well, it depends on how you define drama. It depends on how you define scandal. Okay? And now, y'all done drug President Obama, former CEO of USA Inc., into believing the same thing that his administration was scandal-free did. Well, there are reports of him cheating on Michelle or grabbing anybody by the, you know what, grabbing women by the VJJ. No, there were no reports like that. But there was some controversial things that came out in terms of policy, not personal conduct, okay? But it's still scandalous. And it was not drama-free. So Obama has bought into the craze by using that meme or that saying that his fanatics, his fans, and I'm not attacking anyone, I'm just making a statement of fact, speaking to a mindset. He's bought into it, and he's using that talking point, if you will, to attack Donald Trump. And that's according to the news outlet, online outlet, The Hill. I think it's TheHill.com. We link to it. Now, if you think the Obama administration was drama-free, you have to be unaware of the fact that they are practicing open-air market slavery with the slave auction blocks and everything. They ain't even bothering to convict nobody of any crimes in Libya right now. That was a result of policy decisions in 2011 to come out of the Obama administration. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State Department, that's the Obama administration. All the drama that's attached to her, not using government server, using a private server, that's Obama administration. That's plenty of drama. They're still playing itself out today. So can we just please not be childlike and feel like we got to defend a CEO of USA Inc. because his skin color the same color as mine, or it's close to it, or he's classified as black in this system of racism that's practicing slavery, just to take shots at another slaver, Donald Trump? They on the same doggone team. The adversarial angle, that's being played up by the media, by the political parties, and it's being bought into by the fanatics. Let's stay grounded in reality. All right? Tell the people in Libya that have lost family members to the decision of the United States government, along with its NATO allies, to overthrow a current U.S. ally in the war on terror in Libya, and President Muammar Gaddafi, and Hillary Clinton calling for his murder and assassination while visiting the country. Tell me that ain't drama. Give me a break. All right, it's been great hearing from everyone tonight on this issue of the NCAA arguing that they don't have to pay student athletes any wage because they're slaves, and citing the 13th Amendment. It is very important that we keep this story out there. It seems, I'm saying it seems, I don't know for sure, but it seems after 5 days that the corporate news media, which is owned by the very media networks that are going to profit off of March Madness and off of these sports, college sports, are suppressing this story in their newsrooms. So it's up to us, the people's press, to get the word out. All right. Thank you again for tuning in. I'll be back on air with another live broadcast next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Our broadcast home again is blacktalkradionetwork.com. Think I'm going to keep adding Periscope. It's been going nonstop over an hour now with no issues that I can tell. And, you know, people have been watching. So we'll keep adding Periscope. All right. Make sure that you support independent media. It's very important. We're talking about The Intercept. We're talking about the media suppressing stories. It's very important that we have independent media. And it doesn't all have to be nonprofit, but nonprofit media is less likely to not cover a story because they may tie in to the story somehow and be making a profit off of it. Meaning, like, let's say I was an independent sports media website and I get to get NCAA officials and they set it up so athletes will even call into my podcast or my broadcast. All, you know, it's all to support and promote March Madness. And then, so I don't talk about this story because I don't want to mess up though that relationship with them. Okay? So we are nonprofit. We don't have any ties to the NCAA, which disgustingly is also a nonprofit. But we are nonprofit, and we can only exist with your support. Just like NPR, National Public Radio, Black Talk Media Project, Black Talk Radio Network is publicly supported by your donations. So you can also join our social media platform, btrcommunity.com. Try it out for free for 30 days if you like it. If you wanted to get a membership on a yearly basis for just $24 a year, we also count that as a contribution to the nonprofit towards sustaining independent media. All right. Peace and blessings to all y'all. Be safe out there. The United States still practicing slavery. My name is Scotty Reed, and I live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., and so do you.